I am sitting outside watching the sunrise and the waves and listening to the birds, listening to the waves before the city comes awake, watching the birds. And today is Saturday. I think it's the 21st of June, 2025. And it is the morning after I watched Sinners last night. And I almost couldn't go to sleep because I was so excited about the movie. And not for any of the reasons that all of these so-called woke folk, I'm hearing in my head, and I mean this as an insult, but let me first just say I'm a true Sagittarian, and typically I'm going to say whatever comes off the top of my head. Right now I'm hearing hood professors, all the think pieces about the movie Sinners is just, I'm throwing all of that out the window. It's not like I even actually ever really listen to people like that. But the movie also reminds me why I don't like people, or as I say, mere mortals, because most people just don't get it. People went way too fucking deep on that movie. And I'm like, yo, you missed the whole point of the movie. But it makes sense though, because some people actually don't really truly live their lives, right? Like, life is for living. Regardless of what happens, it's just for living. And even people who throw around and say that we're just souls in a meat suit are so attached to the emotions of things, right? The expectation of how a love relationship is supposed to play out or end or continue, how a parent is supposed to be to us, because our only definition of parenthood is something that we've seen on television, even though some same folks who still say, they're too awakened or too woke, or they're outside of the norm or whatever. And now I'm hearing, and I want to tribe back to moments where I've talked about how we can put this. Okay, so let me give you an example. I'm a Sagittarian. I live truly as a Sagittarian. Anything that you probably read outside of the loyalty part when it comes to romantic relationships, I'm a true Sagittarian. And a lot of the women that have come through the porch that have ended up becoming porch peer guides and things of that nature have, ironically, have loved me to death, have loved me to death, meaning they would probably do some crazy shit for me. Or even at the time when some of them were still talking to me, I've pissed some off since then or whatever, but whatever. I still have amazing memories with y'all, regardless of how you feel or whatever. But it's like they had tumultuous, questionable, strained relationships with their mother. And when I started to see a pattern, I was like, yo, y'all do realize that I am that Sagittarian mother. My child will probably need therapy because of me. And the only thing that I can hope for in this life is for the women who truly love me and understand me to be a supportive mothering figure to him should something happen to me, right? Because it's those women, those people in my life who understand my true nature, who are not going to bastardize or try to martyr me when I'm no longer existing in the physical on this plane. An example of when I say bastardize, and if any family members listening to this who had a part of this and you're offended, I don't really fucking care. So when I ended up in Oklahoma spending time with my grandmother, there came a point in time where she just stopped giving a fuck, right? And so, but my grandmother always just had this mouth that just said whatever she was on her mind. She wasn't always like that. But she became like that. But the older that she got and the frailer that she got and the more time that we spent together, because I never tempered my personality or my the way that I thought as an independent person around my grandmother. Like, I have so many people, cousins and such, who they have a certain persona outside of like her, the elders. Yet when they get around some elders, especially those that they respect, right? And I understand this to a certain extent, but we also have to realize that they were people too who lived their lives in their teen 20s. They just did the same shit that we did, just in a different era or whatever, right? And so, but I also showed up there kind of like this adult who was the baby, ended up being the baby of the family, the wild child. Like, I was feral. And I think she got a lot of thrill of like watching me just do crazy random shit. And so anyway, so but there came a point in time where she decided that she was never going to wear a bra again. She was like, yeah, there's two things she was like, I'm not going to do ever again at this age. And this is like 90 something, right? She was like, I'm not ever wearing a bra again, and I'm never eating green beans. And so she didn't even have to explain to me why she said that. Because one, I hate bras. I feel like the Frost advertisement, but here, that's a different story. And then the green beans, like, when you're a Black person and you grow up in the church and all of that shit or whatever, right? Like, there's going to be green beans. And so imagine having to eat green beans for 90 years of your life. And you're like, I'm not doing it no more. And those are the two things that she was just like, yeah, it's not happening. So, but when she died and some family members came into her room to come and get her clothing, I was in her room. And so they were asking me where her clothes were. And so I'm telling them where, you know, her shoes and things like that were. And then someone's like, well, where's her bra? And I was like, for what? And they said, because she needs a bra. And I'm like, first of all, she's dead. She's in a casket. Second of all, she told y'all she was never fucking wearing a bra again. Y'all, listen, do y'all know they still got that bra and put it on my grandmother? This is the shit that I'm talking about, right? Dumb shit, just because it just, people don't even know why they be doing shit, but they just feel like, oh, it's the right thing to do. Who defines right? So anyway, back to the movie. So my, the movie just made me truly appreciate my family, the family stories, even so much more. And I was going to take notes, but something just said, just go grab your phone and just record this. And so I might do some editing later. But, in my previous video or post about this, about the movie Sinners and what has led up to this, I was saying that I had been moved over the last few days to just kind of revisit my family tree. And now I think I understand why, because even just revisiting my family tree made me just really take some time to think about all of the family stories. So the movie last night, let's just get to the movie last night. So at the 8:28 marker, I'm going to say this. There was a part in the movie where what I'm about to say, I was like, there's only one person alive that I know who will understand certain things that I'm about to say, especially the very next thing that I'm about to say. And that person happens to be white. And I tell this story all the time. When I was living in the States and people would come and visit me in Florida, I would say, listen, if my friend B, I won't say her name, if she ever says to you, do you want to go for a ride? Drop whatever the fuck you're doing and get in the car with her. Don't ask no questions. Don't say I need to change clothes. Don't, none of that. Just get in the car, because it's going to be some type of adventure either that you're not going to understand, but it's going to be a one of a kind moment that you will remember for the rest of your life. And the reason why, and she knows this, but the reason why I say that is because it reminds me so much of my moments in my daddy's truck, like on Saturdays, right? And see, again, this is hard for me to describe unless you were a child, particularly I would say a girl, right? Because it's outside of the norm. Unless you had a dad who was just like the one that went to like different spots in the neighborhood on Saturday and oh man gossip and just, you know, there's no plan. It's just like wherever the wind takes you. And so being a Sagittarian child with a dad like that was just like chef's kiss, right? And so that's how it is with my friend B. It's like, you don't know what's going to happen, but just get in the fucking car. And there's another funny thing that I'm thinking about it. So it makes me proud to think that there is at least one generation, one person I know that is going to carry on this legacy of understanding. So my friend B, when I was living in Florida, still living at the church, and I say church in quotations because it was an old church, but it wasn't a functioning church. It was our church and I lived in it. Anyway, a church is what you're going to make it. And we reclaimed what it meant to be in church, right? So one day they had come to visit and I don't know what we were doing, but anyway, she had brought her girls with her. And one in particular, just, I say, is like her karma, just this, the fiery feralness of B. Anyway, so B is telling her to get in the car. And so she's not getting in the car or whatever. She's not getting in the car. She has just decided and taken it upon herself that her little 11-year-old self is going to make sure that everyone in this car is in the car safely. And I don't know if y'all ever been in like in somebody's pickup truck when you're doing some hauling and shit or whatever, and the person who's closing the tailgate of the truck taps on the back of the truck to let you know that like everything is secure and you can take off. So we're all in the car. B is yelling at her, get in the fucking car. And she taps the trunk like, all right, all is secure. Oh my God, that shit was the funniest shit ever. She is an old soul, like has been here for generations. And I say this all the time. I'm like, yo, like there is no way in the world. I know I've been here for generations, for eons. And I'm a life path 9. And according to all of that or whatever, like I done seen some things and I feel that in my spirit, but she is definitely has seen some things. But I also refuse to believe that every single time, every single life reincarnation that I came back as a Black woman. I can't believe that I came back as a Black woman every single time, because like what juiciness is that to have a range of experiences? Is like, for me, is like what life is. And now here I am, yes, as a Black woman sitting in Bahia, Brazil, and being able to have those memories and not knowing exactly when or where, but just things feeling so familiar to me and different or incarnations and different body types and so on and so forth, right? And now I'm hearing, I think that brings also a level of confidence, but I digress. So the movie, back to the movie. So there's scenes in the movie where I was like, it was hitting me and I was texting my birthday spiritual sister at the same time, a couple of texts about parts in the movie. So I'm like really waiting for all of this deep shit to happen, but it never really happened. And I was like, people are missing this. And one of the scenes that I sent a text to her, and it was a quote that I sent a text to her, was when they went to go get cornbread out of the fields and cornbread was like, I got a quota to make. And one of the brothers was like, fuck your quota. And so I started laughing because I was like, that's some Sagittarius shit. And so, and then women who know me, again, also know that I know I have jumped all over the place. Also know that I'll be like, fuck them kids. And it's not that I'm saying like, actually fuck them kids, but sometimes people need to hear it in that way, especially when women just be giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. And it always comes up with, there was a thing that would happen when we would have porch sessions and mothering and things like that would come up. Women would always start off with saying, I love my kids, but, and I'd be like, just say how you fucking feel. We know you love your kids. Like, you do not need to waste everybody's time starting off with, I love your kid. I love my kids. We know that. But we feel obligated to say it, right? Like, I can't say how I feel, that I'm tired, I'm burned out, I'm pissed off, right? without an opening statement. Because I don't even want to turn this into a gender thing, but certain others, energetic genders, don't start off that way. I was listening to a woman on YouTube. A group on YouTube and expat, and I love her. And I think it's, I'll have to look it up later. But she talks about having to go back to the United States to go handle some things with her father because he got ill or whatever. But then she goes into talking about how many women, Black women that she talks to, say that they can't leave the country because they have a parent that they need to take care of, or a family member they feel responsible for, or they're responsible for keeping the family together or whatever. And I knew where she was going before she even said this. And she was like, when they are coaching men to prepare to leave the States, that is never anything that comes out of a man's life that is an excuse for their delay or pause in making the move, no matter how much someone's mouth says that they're ready to make the move out. They still find certain reasons. And so she wasn't saying that men don't typically find certain reasons. It's just that that is never a reason. It's never the kids. It's never the wife. It's never the ailing parent or whatever. Right? So back to the movie. So when Cornbread says, man, my wife is right here, he says, fuck your wife. So that whole scene right there and what follows and her response, it was like, I've had these conversations, and she gets it, right? So he's playing this role and she's like, yo, you got to watch that scene in the movie to understand what I'm saying. Nobody mentions that scene. And then there's another scene in the movie where they're in the juke joint, and Sammy, the young blues preacher boy basically says something to one of the brothers or whatever, and the brother pulls the gun out on him, and he's like, he said, what's wrong, boy? He's like, you scared? Basically, I'm ad-libbing here. I'm using the language that I probably would have used in that moment. But anyway, so boy bucks up. One of the twins pulls a gun on the boy, and he says, boy, you scared? He said, you gave me a command. And so I was like, I text my friend and I was like, yo, I was like, that's a Sagittarian line. Like, what we doing? Like, I grant wishes. So what we doing? Like, and then there was the moment in the movie where I knew, like, the path that it was taking, where, so you can go ahead and pause. If you're listening to this, you can pause the recording right now and give me about 4 minutes, because I'm going to talk about the moment that I knew what was about to go down. And it was the moment when one of the twins, they're in town and they go into the shop and ask the Asian couple for help, right? So, but when the wife and the husband decide that they're going to head over to the spot to go help them get ready for the night, you see the wife change clothes, and she changes clothes into that era that we've all seen where women were, I think it was like after World War II, but you see like the posters of them in their like mechanic suits with the red bandanas, with the bandanas on their head or whatever. She gets into the car and he gets into the car and they have this look on their face and they light a cigarette. And I was like, yo, they're about to have the best fucking night of their life. Like, they needed this in their life. Like, everything has just become so fucking mundane. Like, we don't know what's about to fucking happen, but the twins are back in fucking town, right? God. And even when I was watching the movie with some friends last night after we watched it, they're Brazilian. And one of them was like, oh, but the neighbor, you know, the town was afraid. And I was like, no, like every generation has a family that has like stories, because it wouldn't be a culture. It wouldn't be a community if there wasn't a family that didn't have the stories. And so like my family, they were good people, but they were wild. And my family is the family that people tell stories about, right? From generation after generation after generation. It's like, yo, so-and-so is a bell. Remember that time? And so across the world over, because I even asked them, I was like, I don't know what it's like here in your communities, but you as a kid knew that family. So it's not like they were good or bad. And it wasn't as if people like them or dislike them. You just heard stories about them. And what you decided to do, what emotion or reaction you decide at that point on how you're going to engage with them or not engage with them is an individual personal choice, but also based off of how someone delivered the story to you. And who delivers the story to you and how someone delivers the story to you is going to be based off of their level of emotional intelligence and their ability to how risk averse or much of a thrill seeker that they are, whatever, right? I'm surprised that there's so many people that didn't speak on when Annie gets bitten. You hear Mary, even though Mary had already turned and was a vampire, she screams out. She had an emotion. She loved Annie. She wanted Annie to have that experience with her. Now, I know some people feel like, oh, well, vampires don't give people a choice. Yeah, whatever. But life ain't black or white. But see, that's the other thing. I think so many people missed so much of the movie because it turned into this indigenous people. I want to see more Choctaw people, black versus white. White people are vampires. Black people are this. And then hoodoo, voodoo. And I'm like, yo, like y'all just got way too deep with that shit or whatever, right? And because even in the juke joint, when the Chinese wife, she was like, what the fuck are we doing? She was like, come in here, like, yo. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, why the fuck are we sitting here? Like, if we don't handle this shit tonight, yeah, the sun will come up, but we got to deal with this shit tomorrow. So let me make this Molotov cocktail and let's handle this shit. And I was kind of annoyed because I was like, now see, why she got to be the one that's just like, look, fuck this. And I have always said, I run towards the devil. I'm not sitting and I'm not going to be having the devil chasing me for the rest of my fucking life. So let me just hold my stance right here and let's just have this out. But then if the devil goes to hide, I'm like, look, I know you out there somewhere. So let me just go and fucking find you so we can either have this battle or we can come to terms, make an agreement on how we're going to play this out for the rest of our lives or whatever, right? Which is a pivotal moment at the end of the movie when Sammy is playing the blues. And I knew when Sammy went to that church, I was like, Sammy ain't giving that life up. And it's not that life. It's just the fact that I was like, yo, they had the best night of their life. And I grew up on blues. People don't understand that. Like, not some bullshit, not some internet meme shit. Like, I grew up on blues, low down dirty blues on a cassette tape with lyrics that would make the most foul-mouthed person that you can imagine right now in your life existence that's not an old black man clutch their pearls. But you cannot sing blues unless you've had experiences, good, bad, everything in the middle or whatever, right? And that is the music that carries people through moments of highs and lows and makes memories. But you've got to have the experiences. We always want this fucking sanitized life experience. There's so much more I want to say about this or whatever, but I want to add the story about even like with my grandmother, when I say my people were good people, but they didn't take no shit. There's that scene where one of the twins shoots the guy in town because they're trying to steal his liquor or whatever, right? As soon as he took off his hat, it reminds me of the story of my grandfather shooting someone. And I was fascinated by the fact that the person, even after my grandfather shot him, still came around. Like, he was part of the family. And it wasn't like his family was trying to get even with my family because they knew he was fucked up and he was wrong. Like, everyone knew, here's what the boundaries are with these people over here. Don't cross this fucking boundary. You already know this. So you're not going into a situation blindly. But if you want to test the waters, go ahead. He tested the waters and he fucked around and found out. So when the guy took off his hat and he already had an eye missing, I was just like, oh, he had a run-in with them already, right? But it ain't no hard feelings. It's just like, yo, I didn't know I was fucking with you, your liquor, right? And then you got to shoot the other guy on principle. Like, if y'all going to be running mates, be running mates. Well, you're not running. Two good legs between you. And see, then this is when you get the nicknames in the community and shit or whatever, right? But my grandmother at her funeral, someone... You know, when you get up and you're telling stories about, you know, how someone has touched your life or whatever, people's being all deep and shit and whatever, right? I get it. I love it. But then there was a brother that stood up and he tells the story about how my grandmother always took people in no matter what. He was like, but she didn't take no shit. You knew what you could and couldn't do. So he was like, one day, I don't remember exactly what he said or did to my grandmother, but he was trying to exit as he was talking shit, and she grabbed a knife and threw it, and he said all he remembers hearing was the knife hit the back of the door, you know, like on the cartoons where you get that the bouncy sound when the knife goes back and forth. And everyone in the church started laughing because that's, listen, fuck around, find out. But and so that's the essence of life. Like, that's the essence of my family stories. That was the essence of the movie. Like, it just makes me appreciate life more. And I do want to add, I saw a whale the other day. And for some time, I had this, years, I've been feeling like once I saw a whale, like, I could die. Like, life would just, all of my bucket lists, and I don't really have bucket lists, I just felt like that would just be icing on the cake for all of my amazing experiences or whatever, right? Having no idea that there was whales here. So I get up, and this is another story, another magical story on how, what made me turn around and look and see the whale. So I wake up a couple of mornings ago and I look in the water and I see this thing and I'm like, yo, I was like, okay, I know it's not a dolphin. It wasn't a manatee. It wasn't a manatee. And I'm like, yo, that's a humpback whale. And I cried, I called my friend and I'm crying. And it was just the most amazing experience to see that whale in the moment, in this moment here. And after I calmed down, I was speaking with another friend or later on that morning. And I was thinking about it, reflecting on the emotion that I felt when I saw the whale. And it gave me this reminder that live life. Like, I don't know where that emotion came from, but it was just like, live life. Live life. Taste life. Smell life. Just live life. Let life live through you. And that moment of seeing that whale was a reminder. Tomorrow, just literally live each day as if it's your fucking last. And so at the end of the movie, and I think it came on after the credits, and I don't know how many people actually saw this, but one of the twins and Mary come back and they find Sammy playing in Pearlines. He named his blue spot Pearlines. And I'm sure everybody was thinking that, yo, they're going to bite him and this and that or whatever. And he says, Sammy says to them, he was like, can I tell you something? I wake up many nights paralyzed. He said that was the best night of my life. And I felt that shit because I mean, I did take notes on my phone as it was happening, as I was watching and picking up all these little pieces. And that is literally what I wrote. I was like, yo, that night was memorable. Because someone, you know, you can play the safe route, you can go and pray and do all this protection shit, but you can literally force yourself into your own box and your own prison by, I don't know, because again, mere mortal language, by using the word safe, people will make the assumption that I'm saying don't be cautious or safe. It's just, you can live your life literally in misery, thinking that if you do this or this or practice this or this and pray here and pray there and bury this and put this in the pouch and avoid this and don't open your door or whatever, that life is going to be grand and it's going to be perfect. No, bullshit is still going to happen and it's going to show up because you can't check all the fucking boxes or whatever, right? But then you still don't have these stories of like, that was a day or a night or a moment that I could die right now and be happy. Do not mourn for me, because that moment filled my spirit and it will carry me through another 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 lives.